runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 427, using DSC on SharePoint with guest Patrick Curran, recorded Monday, June 1st, 2015. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Patrick Curran, who has a large collection of certifications to his name: MCT, MCTS, MCITP, MCPD, MCSA, and MCSE. But he does real work, too. As a SharePoint architect for Planet Technologies, and we bumped into each other at Ignite, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and you were talking about the DSC with SQL, which is something I'd never seen before, and I just wanted to talk to you more about it, just 'cause there's so many cool things in that space. So desired state configurator. Every time I talk about this thing, it's generally in the context of setting up a bunch of web servers in a farm to work properly. But you're using it in other places?
Yeah, so that's a great point, right? So every example that I've seen on desired state configuration, at least coming out of Microsoft, has been how to deploy or keep a website up and running.
Right.
One of my clients didn't just want a website up and running. They wanted to have an entire SharePoint farm, deployed through, desired state configuration through DSC.
Not even a SQL server specifically for a website, but for something else.
That's absolutely correct. So they needed, a workflow server installed. They needed a SharePoint server installed, SQL installed, and Office web application server installed.
Nice. So, I mean, this is really what we should be using this for, is this idea of deploying an application suite, everything you'd need on the back end.
Yeah, that's absolutely, yes. The way I kind of look at desired state configuration is that, you know, Microsoft has been pushing the IT pro to learn PowerShell, you know, for the last 4 years. They've been, you know, it's almost become a mandate, right? And they've been, you know, push. You've got to learn PowerShell.
Uncle Snover is watching, and he expects you.
Well, it is becoming more and more of a requirement. And when you start talking about data centers or managing your Azure environment or managing, you know, more than one server at a time, being able to consistently deploy, whether it be an entire farm, such as a SharePoint farm, or deploy multiple SQL Server instances, consistently and exactly the same, you know, you're going to have to do it using PowerShell and using desired state configuration, which is part of PowerShell. It's built into PowerShell.
Yeah, no kidding. But isn't that one of the weak spots for SQL Server? Is it's really not a particularly PowerShell friendly environment.
It's not.
Am I saying it in a polite way? I'm trying.
That is. That was very, very well politically correctly said. It's not one of the more PowerShell friendly environments. They do have a PowerShell module for it.
Okay.
With 2012 and 2014. The problem that I've run into in the past is that adding that PowerShell module before reboot is inconsistent. Sometimes it works fine, sometimes it doesn't.
Okay. So yeah, if it's not, you don't always know if it's going to be properly installed.
Correct. Well, it's not properly installed, but I'd have to say more on the configured ready to run.
Right.
Because if it will run after a reboot, just fine and remain consistent and working as expected after the reboot. But when you're going and installing, something like SQL through desired state configuration, you can't have something that is inconsistent. It has to be work the same exact way every single time.
Right.
So to that regards, yes.
That's hugely frustrating. I mean, can you force reboots with DSC?
You can. You can definitely force a reboot. You can add a function within your script that will track whether the server needs to be rebooted or not. And because you can run PowerShell within DSC, you can run a restart computer command.
Right. And then pick up where you left off, kind of thing.
Yes.
So, and I'm getting the impression you're using DSC here just to literally bare metal install, given a set or creating a set of VMs, like from nothing, here is all the steps to set up this entire environment.
Well, so yes, and no. So, unfortunately, there's always a caveat, right?
Right.
So the presentation that I did at Ignite, it went through, creating the VMs, adding the accounts to Active Directory, and then building out the server using DSC. Typically, for something like that, you would, if you had to do this in an automated process, which is what we all should be striving for.
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, you would use a tool like an orchestrator, for example, that would, you know, you'd have a button click, you would fill out a couple pieces of information like server name and, you know, what's the role of the server. And the orchestrator would essentially walk you through a workflow that would then create the virtual machine and then would create the accounts in Active Directory and then would build out your SQL server. And all of those can be done through desired state configuration.
Right. So it's just a sort of logical sequence of build this, then build this, and build this. And for the most part, each of those steps is super reliable. It's only when we get to set up SQL Server, now install SQL PowerShell, so you can start sending it commands.
Yeah, that's the thing with DSC is it is supposed to be reliable and repeatable every
right.
single time. And one of the things about desired state configuration is that it's going to test before it runs. So it's going to test whether you have already added these domain accounts into Active Directory. So it's not going to try to overwrite them or waste time, you know, overwriting them. And even though it's going to check whether it's there or not,
right.
It's going to say, hey, you're already there. I'm not even going to bother with this step. Let's just continue moving on.
Right. Which is good.
Yes.
It's the right thing to do. But so it's got to be tough to make sure the PowerShell unit is in there. If it isn't, then install it and then just reboot the server. It's just a safety step.
That would be a safety step. On the installation side, once I was able to install it, provision all the accounts and get the SQL Server tweak that I needed to, I ended up using the SQL command line. As opposed to PowerShell.
Yeah. That's, I think one of the struggles I think the SQL team has around PowerShell is SQL's been very scriptable, but just in its own way with T-SQL.
Yeah. And that's absolutely true. The transition into PowerShell for SQL, I guess you're right. Most SQL people still like to run it through T-SQL or SQL command line. Personally, I kind of went the other way. I started doing a lot of SQL scripting on the PowerShell side mm-hmm. first, and kind of dug myself into a hole with the DSC side and ended up going back into the SQL command line.
Do it the old way.
Yeah.
But I got to imagine like looking at your scripts with all this lovely PowerShell and so forth. Then there's this SQL chunk where it's like, here we are calling the SQL command line directly. Ta-da.
Yeah, well, it's all about reliability and repeatability.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're deploying something that's not 100% repeatable every time, then you don't have a valid test bed. I mean, you have to be able to repeat the same thing over and over and over again, no matter what.
Yeah, if I run this script, it should always have the same outcome.
Correct.
And it's just not true. That makes me sad.
It is a bit frustrating.
Yeah, no kidding. But at least you found a way. You can't get hung up on it either. You found a way through, and it's just go direct to doing the command line stuff, and that gets you where you want to go.
Yeah, and, you know, nobody likes to have a failing presentation at Ignite.
Oh, so, sure.
I mean, I must have rebuilt that SQL server close to 175 times. yeah, just making sure that everything was right. And, you know, my presentation was 20 minutes.
Yeah, you only had 20 minutes and you knocked it out.
There's no time for fumbling around and going, oh, wait.
Let me try that again.
Running it this way.
Yeah. So you have gone a long way down the rabbit hole with SQL Server PowerShell, although for this particular demo, you went the command line route. What can the PowerShell version do that you can't do in the command line?
Well, the nice thing is that for within PowerShell, right, I use the Windows Integrated Scripting Environment, or
right.
The PowerShell Integrated Scripting Environment, which at least allows me to run my SQL queries in a well-formatted manner, right?
Right?
So I can actually have a nice page, a nice scripting environment to debug, mm-hmm. to query, to do whatever I need to do. And not in a single command line.
Right. But functionally, they're pretty much comparable?
I think so.
That's
there isn't anything other than the reliability factor before you reboot.
Right.
that I haven't been able to do using PowerShell.
And that's really just an issue with the install step, right? Like,
correct.
Once it's configured, you could use it. But then the other question is, what are you doing in SQL PowerShell other than calling T-SQL scripts in the end?
Well, and that's exactly it. That's really all you are doing.
Right.
I mean, there are other functions and functionalities. So, for example, setting up things like your always-on high availability, creating high availability groups,
right.
things like that, which are PowerShell commandlets as opposed to writing T-SQL out for that and running that within PowerShell.
Right.
But for the most part, the queries and things that I run, I just run them as straight queries in PowerShell and execute the SQL command, and it runs exactly the same as in T-SQL.
Right. So it's just that common working environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So other than this one little gremlin, I mean, I'm pretty sure we've done a 30-second summary of something you were ripping your hair out for over for weeks.
Unfortunately, but that's the benefit to you and all your listeners.
That's right.
I mean,
thank you for having that pain for us, Patrick. I really appreciate that. every conference session I've ever done was just me summarizing how I bled on the floor over a topic first.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. I'm always glad to take one for the team.
That's good of you.
Thanks.
So are you doing these for test environments? Like, how do you use this on a routine basis?
So in reality, right, desired state configuration is one of those things where you have a development environment or a test environment and you have a production environment.
Right.
And because you've deployed everything out with a script that no matter what you do runs exactly the same every single time.
Exactly.
So if my, you know, lifecycle management is correct, I am going to deploy my software or hardware or whateverware into my development environment first. I'm going to make sure my script runs consistently every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Then I literally can just take the mock file, which is essentially your desired state configuration, is the configuration that you desire, into my production environment. And I can now run that file, that I've tested in my development environment and should get the same results in production. So it's a way of, you know, ideally, right, of having a development environment that matches your production environment, which, as we know, isn't always true.
It often is not true. That's absolutely true. In fact, you've segued me nicely into my sponsorship statement because Run As Radio is brought to you by ScriptRock, the makers of Guardrail and the fighters of configuration drift. Configuration drift happens in every environment from 5 nodes to 5,000. Guardrail will find and scan the configs of every node in your environment, no matter the platform, and alert you to changes happening across machines. Give it a try for 3 months free with the coupon code RUNASRADIO, all one word, at scriptrock.com/RUNASRADIO. And we're talking about DSC anyway. These two tools run together just fine, but I'm with you in this idea that this is what continuous delivery is all about, is that every time I go to make a delivery on even a minor update to software, this could be several times a day, it's going to check the whole configuration of the system and make sure it matches what you expect it to be.
Absolutely. And that's the beauty of the tool, right? It's going to give you the desired state of your configuration.
Right. Yeah, in the case of Guardrail, that's more, it's real, its magic power is telling you all of the variations in your configurations. So, you know, finding you the surprises in any of those spaces. DSC seems to be better at, this is what I want you to be like. Go figure it out. Make it that way.
Right.
Make it all right. Consistent.
Yeah, and that, you know, and I think even tying in the two products together, yeah, so desired state configuration also runs a test configuration as well.
Yeah.
Which will go and test all of the configurations that you've created already. And it will revert them back if somebody's gone in and manually changed.
Right.
But having a third party tool that can says, oh, look, you know, these have changed since the last time you've run me. You might want to update your DSC script to put them back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real good thought. Do you get to a place where this is now like self-service for a developer, that they would use this script to set up effectively their dev environment?
I haven't seen it become mainstream.
Right.
But I mean, if you want to talk about people that are using tools similar to this, you're going to see that in, you know, Microsoft Azure, when you want to go and deploy a Visual Studio development environment for SharePoint.
Right.
That's really kind of where I'm starting to see it more mainstream on these large data centers. From, you know, the individual developer, are they running this yet in their own, development labs? I haven't seen that take off yet. A lot of the people that I deal with on the SharePoint side, are still going, what's this DSC you keep talking about?
Yeah. Why would I want this? But it totally makes sense especially the on-prem SharePoint situation, because there are so many pieces to getting a proper SharePoint install done. Like it's not small.
No, it's not. And when my client first came to me and said, you know, we want this done and using DSC, I was like, oh, this shouldn't be too bad.
How hard could it be?
You know, and, you know, ideally what I had pictured in my mind is I just have everything, you know, I have 5 virtual machine images sys-prepped ready to go.
Yep.
And you hit the go button and there it is. But they said, no, we're going to start off with a single, you know, server 2012 ISO, and you're going to build it all out from here. Then things became a little more difficult. But you're absolutely right. From a development standpoint, you know, the ability to stand up a SharePoint farm or have one automatically created for you for your development environment at the beginning of every new project. I mean, that's hours and hours of manual work that you can then save by running a script.
Yeah. And all those mistakes you'll make along the way that just make debugging a nightmare, like getting that deployment out there. And it's not the first time, it's the second time.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, this could be, that's really a brutal thing. So what about DSC and Azure? Is that how you're using it, or are you doing it primarily on-prem?
Primarily on-premises.
Right.
You can obviously use it in Azure. Mm-hmm. I am using it in Azure for a couple of different things, but not more on the test side to make sure my configurations stick, as opposed to deployment. But you definitely have the ability to run desired state configuration for deployment in Azure as well.
Interesting, yeah. Because I think about all the demos we've seen from Microsoft in Azure, where they say, let's make an Azure web farm. And they already have a template in place to do that. But that's their configuration, not yours.
Correct. But you do, you know, if you stand up your own desired state configuration machine, you know, the host that's going to push out the configurations or help you get your virtual machines set, the way that you want, then it's definitely doable. You can create your own templates that way, nice. Or your own scripts and run your own mock files and get everything configured the way that you want.
Yeah, and it could just be straight all to VMs, or it could be to the various pass pieces, the Office 365 offering. Like, there's so many choices on how to make that, although I've become abundantly aware, we've talked about it on a few shows now, that SharePoint in Office 365 and SharePoint on-prem, not the same product.
No. They're quite different beasts.
Yeah, not a small thing to do. I was talking to one of the fellows from Microsoft that actually is responsible for migrating their SharePoint, Microsoft's internal SharePoint stuff into the cloud, Jared Shockley, and said, yeah, about 93% just went up. And I said, but that other 7%, holy man.
Yeah, it never is 100%.
No. Nothing comes for free. What about sort of strapping DSC around an existing application? You've got a SharePoint site up and running now, and you want to get into this more automated rollout and so forth. Is it particularly tough, or is DSC much easier when we're dealing with Greenfield?
That's a good question. For something that's already existing, I think it's easier because you're just basically testing to see that it's still there and running correctly.
Does what you expect to do. So I'm taking that Word doc, that evil Word doc about how to deploy the SharePoint site, and turning it into DSC scripts.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't remember the URL off the top of my head, but there somebody has already even written all that up for DSC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's one of the experimental. It's an experimental SharePoint DSC configuration. I can't remember the gentleman's blog that wrote it. But if I can find it, I will definitely help you out and send you the link.
Yeah, and just the sort of thing that folks would really appreciate is, again, folks that have been there before and already had that pain is like, here's how you get DSC wrapped around it. Because to me, it feels like that's how we rehabilitate these old applications, keep them safe, is to get them packaged up in this kind of management environment so we can move them around and redeploy them and have some confidence that we can get back to a known state if it gets into trouble.
Yeah. And, while we were talking, it's actually, in TechNet Gallery.
Okay.
It's, the X SharePoint administration module, for PowerShell desired state configuration. And it's, you have a zip file you download, and it has a lot of great DSC already written out for you.
Nice. So that'll just get you a head start on getting all of that done.
Yeah, and I mean, for people who are just starting out, that's really the best way to do it. Is there's some great videos out there. Reading through, somebody who has already created, DSC configuration scripts, and just reading through it and see what, hopefully they're well commented and you can actually follow through with what they're trying to accomplish and what they do actually accomplish and kind of reverse engineer it to make it work for you.
Well, this is a cultural thing I found around SharePoint in general. It's like if you're starting from a blank screen with PowerShell, you're doing it wrong. There's a lot of scripts out there already. Odds are somebody's done something close to what you're asking. Just go find it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And it's not just for the PowerShell side. It's also for development or just about anything. And if you really take a look, I read a great article about why are you even writing code anymore? Right? Everything you want to do, somebody has already done it probably, and you can grab their JavaScript library, you can grab their PowerShell scripts, you can grab, their C#, you can go grab their solution file. I mean, all these things have already been done. Spend a little time researching, cut and paste, and get your work done a little faster. Implement that JavaScript library so you're not rewriting one.
Yeah. There's always a little, you do yourself a service by doing a little searching and at least learning from others about the problems they've had or, potential pitfalls along the way.
It will definitely save your hairline.
It'll reduce the overall stress in general. And I'm looking at this DSC resource kit from the SharePoint team and going, wow, this is a lot of stuff. on, okay, you want to work with SharePoint and PowerShell and DSC together? Here's what you do. PowerShell and SharePoint get along a heck of a lot better than SQL Server, though.
Yeah, I would have to say, I think with SharePoint 2013, I mean, there are a lot of PowerShell commandlets. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but they're definitely a lot more than there were in 2010.
Yeah.
And probably twice as many as there are for SQL.
And I think that's the place we want to get to here, is that you now think with DSC and your application suite as a whole and say, all right, well, I'm going to need AD set up like this and IIS set up like that and SQL set up like that. Here's the SharePoint install and how I'd like it configured, and all the pieces go together.
Yep. And there's a, you know, and once you can get that automated through your orchestrator of choice, you know, you can just stand up SharePoint farms at will.
Yeah. Which may be a power too great for anyone to handle. Good Lord.
Yeah, I definitely agree. At least you can stand up your development environments that way.
Yeah. Right? If we say five VMs is the base configuration.
Yeah, I'd say that's a good start for your development environment.
Right. Yeah. And do you see like a clustered SQL Server instance as just a necessary part of development because the clustered SQL behaves a little differently than just a standalone SQL?
Well, personally, I don't go for clustered SQL servers anymore. That's just my own preference.
It's expensive.
I mean, it's not a cost thing. It's one of the cheaper ways to go and maintain your high availability of SQL Server.
But right.
At the end of the day, you're still talking about a single failure point, which is your SAN on the back end.
Yeah.
So I'm more a fan of the, SQL Server high availability, which came out in Server 2012.
Right.
SQL Server 2012 and using high availability groups. And, that's kind of the route I push, try to push my clients to go.
Nice. Okay. I do appreciate the idea, as a guy who did lots of web development and testing, having my developers work with databases set up so that they have failover options so that you can test how your app will behave. That was just became vital. Like, there's no failover solution I've ever found that didn't need some code tested against it to know that it behaved correctly.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the one nice thing about, you know, PowerShell and SQL and, or even going in and using the GUI is you have the ability to fail over your SQL environment and test it still.
Right. And actually know how it's going to behave, how it recovers, that whole, till you've done that, you don't really know. You don't want to find out when it's failed that your failover solution doesn't work properly.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I've definitely run into that with some of the old SQL mirroring and SQL clustering.
Yeah.
And this way it's really nice and easy. You know, you just set up your one group listener and no matter which server you're on, your primary or your secondary replica, it doesn't. Your tool or the service that it's providing, you know, SharePoint doesn't care. It's still calling that one group listener name and it doesn't care which server is actually, you know, responding and sending data back
right.
to.
And that's the way you want it to be. But it's good to actually have that under your belt. Say, all right, I'm going to stop this instance and hey, look, everything keeps running. That's great.
Yep.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Patrick, any other resources, things we need to look at if we want to use DSC at this level, a sort of collective way of deploying whole tool sets?
You know, there's a ton.
No, wow, that's a good thing.
There is.
Where would you search?
Channel 9, MSDN, Channel 9 has two great, 8-hour web, web demos or web presentation, kind of your introduction to DSC and then the advanced stuff. You will watch them a couple of times. The first, I watched them both live. And the first time was just sitting there learning all these new PowerShell tricks.
Right.
And I didn't take in any of the DSC at all.
That's awesome.
And I've been doing PowerShell for a long time. So, you know, it's really great to see how other people write and run their PowerShell. So then when I watched the second time, it was, I learned quite a bit. So definitely hit up, MSDN, channel 9, sorry, and, watch those two videos.
Absolutely. Patrick Curran, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you very much for having me out today.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.